News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 12th of June, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, and stuff you can use. Steve Ray is out at the air show today.
He's going to bake.
Apparently, they've asked him to substitute in and fly one of the F-16s. Or F-15s. It was some F word, and I can't remember which one. But he's out at the air show today, and he'll call in, and we'll talk about the Macintosh Intel switch.
Yeah, going to the Intel.
Great Mac switch. But that's an interesting thing, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But not right away. We'll give Steve a chance to call in so that he can be part of this. For those of you who are listening to this live, I hope this is working. I'm also, because Steve is not here, I'm also recording the show. And we'll see.
Multitasking.
Well, this is not the fastest. It's also overdriving like mad. Let's see if that helps. This is not the fastest machine on Earth, and so I have no idea what the quality is going to end up being on the recording and on the stream. So if you can hear this at all and it sounds semi-okay, let me know. Call in and let us know. You know the numbers. For those of you who are streaming from out of state, and I know we have some people who do that, that toll-free line is 800-295-1180. If you're a Verizon Wireless customer, of course, it's Star 1180, and the regular number 222-1180 in the 585 area code. So we'll see what that goes. And we'll be talking about interesting stuff and doing some other interesting things. But before we do any of that, let's talk to Judy from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Judy. What's your question? Judy? Are you there? Hello, Judy?
Can't hear.
Do we have Judy?
Hold on, Judy. We're trying to get it going here.
We don't know what happened to Judy. Okay, we're going to try it again. We're talking.
Hello.
No, we're watching you panic. It's a lovely sight.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there we go. Modern technology, it's great.
I'm sorry. This is what's happening. Turning the computer on, Windows is coming up.
Which version?
What version? XP.
Okay,
and it's on like for, I don't know, 30 seconds. It shuts itself off, and then starts up again.
And you've danced the tango?
Can I dance the tango? I probably cannot.
Stop.
Okay. What it most likely is, one, the heat's not helping much around here.
Oh, that's the truth.
That's a whole nother story I'll go into later. But, no, what I would suggest is your antivirus software is up to date?
Yes.
And so what I would recommend doing is going to our website, soundbites.org, click on the Security Tango,
okay,
and then you click on the Let's Dance button, and go down to where you can download Adware and Spybot. And if you want, you at the very bottom of the page, Nick has added my wife's checklist that you can email her, and she'll email you right away the steps on how to run that program. But what that does is basically get rid of spyware that can cause just what you're saying that you're seeing right now. Comes into that I don't see with, you know, a couple hundred to, we've had up to 3,000 spyware programs on a machine. It can do various things. I've seen it open CD-ROM drives randomly, shut the machine down, try to restart, or on starting, it thinks if you have a modem, it tries to dial out. There's various iterations, and you can get all this stuff just simply surfing the web. And that, right along with your antivirus software, this is something, there are two free programs that you should install, update, and run weekly. Because you'll be amazed at the amount of spyware that you'll find on your machine. So I'd run those before doing anything else drastic.
Okay.
And if you have any other questions, you know, you can always email me. Or like I say, at the bottom of the Security Tango list there is my wife's email that you just say, send me the checklist, and she'll pop it right on out to you.
And but if I can't even get on the Internet, I mean, nothing's, I can't open it up. I can't open anything.
Do you have another machine around?
Yes.
Then what you can do is download both the Adaware and SpyBot and put them on disk and then copy them over to the other machine.
Okay.
And you can download the updates, too.
Okay, so first thing I do is go to...
go to soundbites.org.
Soundbites.org.
And on the right-hand side, you're going to see the Security Tango.
Okay, Security.
You click on that, and then it's going to take you to this great page that Nick designed.
Okay.
And there, on the left-hand side, you're going to see a button that says Own, and you're going to see a place where you can download both Adaware and SpyBot. Download those to that on that computer, then save them, and then you can move them over to a floppy, or burn them to a CD. And also, you can also grab the updates there too while you're at that page. Okay. All right. Good luck.
All righty. And now, sorry, I was just choked up with emotion there from that one. Our next caller, Tom, on a cell phone. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
I got two questions. One is, I have a new computer, laptop, and my old one's a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Want to transfer the files, folders from the old laptop to the new one.
Yep.
Went to Staples. They sold me some cord that I'm supposed to plug in to the two computers, and I'm supposed to be able to do this.
Yeah.
This is something we can do then.
Yeah. There's, okay. Matter of fact, XP comes with a program. That what you can do is it's called the Setup and File Wizard program.
Okay.
And basically what it'll ask you is, like on the old, you start it up on the new one, and it'll let you create a disk.
Okay.
That you can then take over to the old computer.
Mm-hmm.
And you run this program.
Okay.
And it'll say, is this the new computer or the old one? You say the old one.
Okay.
And it'll, what it'll do is save all your settings. Now, you can either save them on that existing computer, or if you got it linked to the other computer, you can save them over on the other computer.
Okay.
And it'll run. It'll grab all your file settings, your folders, and your email settings, and everything else. Puts it into a little package,
mm-hmm.
you know, a compressed file. So then once it's done, then you go over to the new computer, and depending on where you saved it, you start the file wizard up. And say, okay, this is the new computer. And you say, okay. And it'll ask, all right, well, where's the folder? And you point it to where the folder is, say, run. It will literally put all your documents and file settings and emails and reboot. And even on your desktop, if you had a special screen on there, it'll even copy that over. So when you reboot, it looks like your old machine.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. In the meantime, I'm going to try to fix the streaming media server, and we'll be back shortly on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. I got to restart. See? I'm terrible at this. I'm terrible at this. Steve is not here today, and so I'm trying to record the show and do all this other stuff, and I missed the intro there. But it appears that the server... the streaming media server wasn't working, wasn't getting anything because this apparently won't do both well. So everybody who's not getting the stream is going to have to download the archive. And I apologize for those of you who are listening on whatever Monday or Tuesday or whatever, and are porked off because there's no stream. Well, that's the reason.
I'm just in the big city.
I've got one fairly low-powered machine here, and if you'd all like to chip in and buy me a super high-end system, I'd be glad to take it. But until then,
you can get a nice 17-inch.
Exactly. Until
DVD
then,
burner
not going to happen. So this is an old hand-me-down, and
100 gig hard drive.
As down as it's going to go.
Yeah. Hey.
So at least it's going to be recorded. We'll have that for posterity, but we won't have the. we won't have the stream today. And I am, like I said, I'm sorry, but get over it. All right. Our next caller is...
How do you really feel?
Our next caller is Bob from Greece, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Well, it's a little complex. I hope you gentlemen will bear with me while I take you through this.
All right.
Basically, let me tell you what the problem is. The computer... I have an XP, a Dell with Windows XP, all updated. At the present time, when I try to boot it, it'll get to the Windows logo with the three little green dots that go across, and that's as far as it goes. And
does
you can see the green dots sort of hesitate and then start going again, hesitate, and eventually, after a couple of minutes, the green dots completely stop. But that's as far as the computer will go. But let me give you a little more background information.
Yeah.
For about over the last 5 or 6 months, from time to time, at boot up, I've been getting a message on a blue screen that says, I won't read the whole thing, but you guys will recognize it probably, quote, a problem has been detected and Windows has been shut down to prevent damage to your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give you some suggestions as to what you can do. Yeah. Well, when I reboot from that, I've always been back on again. No problem. But last night, I had been on the computer for a while. I'd been on the net. And as I do after I've been to various websites, I was using Adaware to make sure that I hadn't picked up any. Well, it was doing its thing. And sure enough, as best I can recall, it had picked up about 4 or 5 rogue cookies. And just at the point when Adaware would total all that up and ask you what you want to do, bingo, it goes off, and that blue warning comes on about a problem has been detected.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen it
come up
at that point.
Bob?
Yes.
It's unlikely that whatever you did at that point was the problem, whether it was Adaware or some other program. If this has been going on for a while, it could be a hard drive, it could be memory, it could be viruses, it could be any one of 100 things.
Hold
the reality is when you get those kind of blue screens, don't ignore them. They're there on purpose. I know they're annoying, but they're annoying it for a purpose. You really need to get it. You see, at that point, had you called us when the first one came up, maybe we could have diagnosed something that fixed it. Now I'm afraid you're going to have to take it to a vendor because they're going to have to throw it on another machine, do some diagnostics to it, and a bunch of other stuff.
Well, the other thing is, how old of a machine is it?
Oh, about 2 years.
Yeah, well, you're probably out of warranty.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Nick said, you're going to have to take it to a shop and have them take a look at it.
Let me just ask, the Windows XP startup disk won't be of any help?
You can reformat the drive and go all over again, but what if the problem is that the drive is going bad?
Yeah. Drive, how much memory's in it?
You would have to ask.
Well, but the point is, it could be any one of 100 different hardware problems. It could be any one of 100 different software problems. So you really, at this point, need to get it to a vendor.
Well, the thing is, I can't even get into safe mode.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you need to get it to a vendor.
Because literally, like at my shop, we literally take the hard drive out and put it on the test bench and diagnostic tool.
And then diagnose the hardware itself.
Yeah.
You've got the tools to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel, maybe it's the video card. You replace the video card. You've got the material on hand to do that.
Right, because I've got the tools I can put on a disk. It doesn't even have to boot into Windows.
Right.
It starts up the diagnostic tools, and I can run for both memory, motherboard, sound card, you name it, and it can test the snot out of it.
And that's why he needs to get it to a thing. Well, listen, that's, I think, good advice for just about anybody. If you've got a system that's giving you a little bit of trouble, and rebooting fixes it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Just something lurking.
Yeah, it just means that the problem is going to start to get worse and worse and worse. And if you let it go, I was always able to just reboot and it was fine again. It wasn't fine. You treat your computer. Treat your computer better than you treat your body. We all ignore things like high blood pressure and diabetes and stuff like that, thinking, it's not going to be a problem for me. Fine, what you do with your body is your business. But if you want your computer or your body to last, at those kind of warning signs, do something with it. Take care of it. We're going to take a quick break. Back on the other side of the news with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, Nick Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this
is what?
Is Soundbites.
You sure?
I am sure.
You're positive?
I'm pretty I'm all right with it. Okay. It works for me.
All right.
That's okay.
Then it'll work for me.
All right, as long as it works for you. We have all kinds of things to talk about and things to do, but we're going to go back to the phones right now. We have Chris from Williamson on the line. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm calling because I'm trying to move a hard drive from one computer,
mm-hmm.
which was an AMD K62,
yep.
to another computer which has an Intel Pentium 4.
Okay.
Now, the hard drive is a 160 gig Seagate
mm-hmm.
with Windows XP written on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I move the hard drive from the old computer to the new one,
right. mm-hmm.
the new one will not boot on it.
Right, because that old hard drive, what operating system was on that?
Windows XP, Home Edition.
Yeah. All right, that's your problem. See, when you install XP, it looks for all the hardware.
Right.
And when you put it into a new machine and it goes to boot up, it says, wait a minute, I'm looking for an AMD chip.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the wrong thing, so it won't boot. You literally got to install Windows over Windows again to get it to work in that machine because it has to find the hardware all over again.
Also, too, now, on the old computer, when it, wrote to it, it wrote it in as two hard drives,
mm-hmm.
you know, a C and a D drive.
Yeah.
And it put the operating system on a D drive, which is really quite interesting. In other words, it split the 160 hard drive into two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would it do the same with the new machine?
It'll look for the old, because when you install Windows over Windows,
yes.
Yeah, it's going to look for the where it was before.
Okay, you can't make the 160 into just one drive, can you?
You can by yeah. simply reformatting, but then you will lose whatever you've got on that drive.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now, the other thing you can do, of course, is to buy a new drive for the new machine and
right.
use the old drive as a second drive.
Mm-hmm.
If you got files in that on there that you want to keep.
Right. Then one of the things you can do is move all of your files over to the new drive
mm-hmm.
and reformat the old drive. Then you'll have two drives in the new machine, both of which are using the full drive, and you'll have lots of space to store stuff. But you can't just take the old drive and magically make it use the full 160 and retain all your stuff.
You'd have to get a program like Partition Magic and play around
yeah.
with that. That's not going to. That sometimes has problems though moving the operating system, especially if it's on a different drive level.
And you're in real danger of losing everything you've got on that old drive
if you don't do it right. Yep, I've seen folks
okay.
do that.
Yeah, now on Windows XP, can I just reinstall the, as I say, reformat and reinstall it and all that and won't have no problems? Because I can, of course, put...
Well, you're going to want it... No. Thing that is, though, is you've got two partitions on there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to do like an F disk to first get rid of the other partition. Actually delete both of them. And then it'll when you go to install it, it'll treat it as one because right now... When you go, because it's set up to be two partitions.
Yes.
All it's going to do is when you install it is format that one partition.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's already set up in the BIOS to be divided into, when you do the FDisk, you're setting it up as two separate entities. And it's still going to do that even if you reformatted it. You got to get rid
right.
of those two partitions.
If you actually do a full install from the get-go, you should get that option though, right?
And not necessarily.
All right.
Depending
so
on the BIOS.
You may need to F-disk, and in which case you will lose everything on that old
yeah.
drive. But if you don't care, then yeah, you can do that and go. It also depends on how old that drive is as to whether you really want to do that, because
yeah.
The reality is that an old drive, at some point it's just gonna die.
Say goodbye.
Our next caller, Richard from Waterloo, New York. Welcome, Richard. What's your question?
Yes, I have a 160 gigabyte hard drive, external hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
But it is 2 years old, and some of the file paths are so long that on my computer that it says that they're too long for this hard drive, this external hard drive. So I bought a new one from Radio Shack, and they said that the new one should accept anything that my computer will accept. Is that correct?
Yes, but it's unlikely that the file names are too long for the drive.
Yeah.
They're actually too long for the operating system. What
okay,
happens
just using
is
the wrong terminology.
Right. And so it doesn't matter what drive you put in there, it's still going to be too long for the operating system.
What operating system are you running?
I have XP on one, and I have Windows 2000 on the other.
And are they set up as NTFS, or are they FAT32?
Excuse me?
On the XP one, what might be part of your problem is if you go under in the control panel under administrative and go in the disk manager and check the status of the hard drives.
Uh-huh.
See if it's that original hard drive is running as NTFS instead of FAT32. Because if you're running under FAT32, that's where the long file name could be an issue. And there's a utility in there that you can convert it, or you can do a convert command at the command prompt to convert it from FAT32 to NTFS, and you won't lose anything, but it's a far more efficient file format.
Okay.
And then usually most programs can then handle the longer file names and,
okay,
you know, multiple folders.
Okay. But this could work then. My file names and so on could work on the computer. I mean, they do work, obviously, because they're in there, but they may not work when I go to transfer them to something else.
Right, because you got to see what format that external hard drive is in.
See, under Windows XP, you have a limit of 255 characters. Windows 2000 has a limit of 260 characters. So you may have something that works fine under one but won't work under the other. The easiest thing to do is to shorten the names of the folders in between. Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And this...
I'm Rob Linton with the mic on this time.
Hey!
Hey!
He's getting better at pushing those buttons.
Maybe by 1 o'clock you'll have it perfected.
Stop it.
See, I'm going to let you hang yourself this time.
Hey, I can. I had a week off.
That's right.
He's going to make up for lost time.
You had a great time.
Huh?
You had a great time.
It was unbelievable. I went up to Lake George for Americade. Gorgeous weather. I mean, we did a lot of great riding. We went up to Lake Placid. And then, riding through Vermont, and it was just a great time, beautiful weather. Had a heck of a storm come through on Monday, but you know what the bummer is I drove home, wife and I drove home Thursday.
That's a bummer.
In the heat. Oh, I mean, we're going through 95 and 96 degree weather on the bike, on the thruway. We baked.
Yeah, I bet.
To get home, we go to turn on the AC because it hadn't been on, didn't need it before we left.
Right.
It runs about 5 minutes, and it craps out on me.
AC on a bike?
No, AC at
in the house.
House.
Pay attention.
So now my guy's coming over this coming week to put in a new air conditioner, but meanwhile, I think even the dogs wanted me to take them back to where they were being at the kennels.
Yeah.
It's hot in that house. I had to go buy two fans to get the air going, but there we are sweating our butts off because, you know, it's an old home, 1922. And trying to get the air flowing around there, it's not very easy, as you well know from your beautiful old home. I mean,
I love my old home, and we don't have air conditioning. We probably should think about it at some point, but it doesn't really get that. Generally, it doesn't get that hot, except in the computer room.
Well, see, downstairs in the basement is where the shop is, and that stays nice and cool. But, man, right now we're sweating our buns off.
I was honestly thinking at one point, except that the attic is hotter than the rest of the house, I was thinking of moving the servers up to the attic.
That is, unless you got event.
Right.
Or you had to put a separate air conditioning unit up there.
Right, and I could do that. I can close off one of the rooms and put air conditioning in there. That might be worthwhile at
some
point.
Then in the winter, you can just turn it off and it gets pretty cold up there anyways.
Exactly right. All right, our next caller is Ryan from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Ryan. What's your question?
Well, thank you. I have a couple quick questions, gentlemen. Love your show, by the way. Thanks.
Thank you.
I saw an ad, and I didn't pay enough attention to it, about backing up your hard drive with one of those keychain little USB things you plug in and you back up the whole hard drive. Did
sure.
I see that correctly?
Well, yes
depends.
And no.
Yeah.
The keychain things come in like megabyte sizes, you know,
up to one gig,
whereas drives come in gigabyte sizes up to hundreds of gig. So you cannot back your entire system up to it. On the other hand, what's really important to you is your data. And if your data is smaller than the capacity of that keychain drive, then yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, that's great. Second thing is I'm having a tremendous problem with my office computer with spyware.
Mm-hmm.
I ran the AdAware software. Every time I run it, it's got 300 new ones, 400 new ones, and then I reboot the machine, and there's 1,200 new ones. So then I went to the Microsoft site and downloaded the beta version of theirs, and that keeps giving me pop-ups to say you're getting something trying to attach to your browser, et cetera, and I say, you know, remove and so on, but I've been doing that for 4 days now.
Yeah.
Two things. First, you ran AdAware, but did you dance the entire security tango?
SpyBot also?
Did not do SpyBot.
Well, you want to dance the tango starting from the very beginning. We talked about this earlier, but if you go to securitytango.com,
mm-hmm.
We've put together a step-by-step set of instructions that really takes you through how to clean the machine from top to bottom.
No kidding, that's great.
Once you've done that, now you've got, that's a start. And, of course, you want to click on the link for Lori Lynch and get the how to keep it clean business. But what's next step is keeping the machine clean. There are a couple of things you need to do. First, stop clicking on every stinking thing you find in email and in your web browser. Don't use Internet Explorer. Use Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use Outlook or Outlook Express if you can avoid it. Use something like Thunderbird or Eudora. Those are the kind of things that will help keep your system clean. IE is a great product. Outlook and Outlook Express are great products. The problem is they're currently, at least, they're the ones that are most highly targeted by hackers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stop using them, you take yourself out of that 10 ring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the big thing you want to do. When you find that, you know, you reboot the system, you got a million pieces of spyware, that's because you didn't clean them out enough.
Yeah, well, every time
I'm sorry. If you find out that things are continually returning to your system, it's because they're being reloaded by the sites you go to or by the mail you're opening up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where using different products will help solve that problem.
Plus, under Thunderbird, you can sit there, and once you got something coming in, you can mark it as junk and have it automatically deleted from your system.
Right.
So you don't have to do that.
Okie doke. Give that a try. That's probably your best bet at this point. Going to take another quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright. Rob, I do this for a living. Linton and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We have Michelle from Webster on the line. Welcome, Michelle. What's your question?
Hi, thank you. I all of a sudden have been getting this very strange pop-up window, and I have a really hard time getting rid of it.
What is
it? And what it says is it comes up as a box,
mm-hmm.
and then it says Flashants Ice Player, Flashants, and then it says Ice Player, 1.1, and then it has a little box where it says OK, and on the bottom left it also says Micromedia Flash Enabled. And I have no idea why this is popping up.
Macromedia?
Yes.
And this happens no matter what website you're on?
Actually, my home page is set to iknowrochester.com,
mm-hmm.
and it pops up whenever I go to my home page.
Have you, you're running AdAware and SpyBot?
No, actually, I'm not.
I would highly recommend you know, into our web security tango.
Okay.
Wait, this you're at inorochester.com, which is, of course, a good place to be since that's
well, it doesn't exist anymore. I mean, that's like two websites ago. It went from inorochester.com
to
it
forwards. It forwards.
Oh, it does it forward? Okay.
And, in fact, it requires, it does require the ICE web player, the ICE player.
Oh.
Absolutely. That's actually part of the site.
Okay, I didn't realize that. I was wondering why it was coming up.
Yeah, that's actually perfectly fine. It helps. You don't need it. You can certainly read the site without it, but it enhances your experience by adding cute things to it.
I'd still get Adware and Spybot on that machine and clean up the spy.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's a separate issue. In this particular case, what you're getting is not a bad thing, but if you have not done the Tango or you don't have Adware and Spybot, you definitely need those.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That helps. I was just wondering if it was okay to press okay or if I was going to do something terrible to my computer by doing that.
As long as you're actually at the I Know Rochester site, the 13WAM TV site, 13WAM.com is the new one, then you should be fine.
Okay.
To click on that okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're
welcome.
Thank you. And you know what? Michelle did exactly the right thing because she's found something that she didn't know what it was, and she turned around and asked before
instead
she said yes, and that's exactly
of
the right thing
right
to do.
Walking right into an issue and then all of a sudden caused tons of problems for... That's a smart person.
Yep, very smart, Michelle. And the other thing is, as I said, at that site it's okay. I won't say it's okay for another site.
No,
so
but when
be aware of where you are.
It's better, you know, to
exactly
get a second opinion before diving right into it, because sometimes people make it worse.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, before we go to the break, one thing I wanted to put out the word to, if any of you folks are into the IT world, in other words, you do computer repairs or you fix computers or even sell computers, we've got a computer repair seminar, and it's all around child pornography awareness. I mean, this is a big thing that's coming out here in the IT world and, you know, knowing what to deal with it and how to handle it and everything else. It's a big bag of snakes, and they're offering a free seminar. And if you are actually in the IT business, fix or sell computers, and you haven't heard about this conference, email me. It's dnwright@nwrightpc.com. And once I confirm that you are in the IT world, I'll get you the information. And this is coming up on June 20th. It's a seminar that's going
next Monday,
this Monday, but following Monday from 8:30 to 10, and it's free. So if you're interested in finding out, and you're in the IT world, and I've already had four computers that I don't go looking for porn on people's computers, because there's a lot of adult porn that's on there, and you know, I can't do anything about it. People have it even as a wallpaper.
And it's legal and whatever you do.
And if that floats your boat, that's your thing. But when it comes to child porn, you won't find a bigger advocate. I mean, I have been, like I say, I've turned four people in, and I have no regrets about it. Matter of fact, even if it was a family member, I'd do it. Because that's how dead set it's, you know, with
I'm
grandchildren
with
and that. And I'll do... go down 6 feet under trying to, you know, get rid of this stuff because the poor kids, you know, are being inflicted with this.
Right.
And even if they disappear, the pictures disappear for a while.
It's the internet. They come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're in the industry, this will help you.
And email me.
Get the awareness for what you're doing.
From our
Soundbites
website, you can email me, too.
And it's being run by...
Missing and Exploited Children.
The National Center for Missing
and
Exploited Children.
Department.
Great people. Listen, we are going to take a break. If you're on the line, please hang on because we'll be with you in just when we come back from the news. So we're going to get the news and we're going to get the information and all the good stuff that's going on in the world. And when we're done with that, we're going to come back with Dave Enright, with Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. Perhaps Steve will have dragged himself away from the shiny objects hurling themselves through the sky and managed to find a phone and give us a call. But we will be back on the other side of the news with possibly the greatest computer show in the known... What do you mean possibly? The greatest computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Rob Linson.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get... And that's Joan Hildebrandt. She's leaving now. She's bye-bye, Joan. Who knows? They're all off doing something interesting. Before we get back to the phones and stuff like that, we do have people on the line. Please hold on. We'll get to you shortly. We want to talk a little bit about what goes on at our website, soundbites.org. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll, of course, we had the news that the Macintosh OS will soon be available on Intel hardware. And so the question that we raised was about that. 300 of you, and even 300 voted, making it number 101 on the all-time hit list. Thank you all. The overwhelming choice was sounds intriguing. Actually, that was 34% of the vote. Followed closely, 32% of you said, I will never give up my Windows. 18% of you said, yeehaw. And 16% of you said, can't touch the penguin, baby. So, it'll be interesting.
They're a loyalist.
They are loyalists. They are loyalists. So we'll be talking a little bit more about that shortly. But before we do, let's talk about this week's poll. Last week we had, I thought that was a much more important thing to put in the poll. But last week we had somebody, a couple weeks ago, we had somebody from one of the, from DeLorme.
Yep, DeLorme. Street Atlas USA.
You know what? I left it off this list. Oh, well, that's what I get for doing this at
midnight.
You know
what another you could have had on there?
Hmm.
That a lot of folks use? AAA.
Yeah. Well, that's what I get for doing it at 1 o'clock in the morning. What can I tell you?
The
poll was for driving directions. I use Google Maps or MapQuest, Maps on Us. There's a whole bunch of them on there. The Force, I just asked my spouse or something else, please leave. And opinion. So far we've got, 77 here, but I'm refreshing now, and it appears to be... Come on, you're supposed to be faster than that. That's the whole reason I redid this site. 81 votes. So far, 38% of you use MapQuest. 15% use the Force. 4 of us just ask our spouse. I have no sense of direction. None. Zero. I am completely clueless. I got lost in my own driveway. So my wife is completely used to, turn left here, turn right there. No, you have to be going forward. The same direction you're facing, you should be moving it. So please vote in the poll. When you're done voting in the poll, you'll notice underneath the poll is a little yellowish box. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it will take you to my website. That's AskNick.com.
Oh, behave.
I refuse to. And at my site, you can leave an opinion. Because I know that nobody, you're all a bunch of verbose people, and that's the politest way I can put that. And I know that simply clicking a button is not satisfying enough for all of you, so you get to go over and leave a slightly longer opinion, fewer than 256 characters on the poll of the day. When you're done with that, feel free to look around and ask Nick. There's all kinds of stuff for the full Nick and for Nick Light and a bunch of other cool stuff that you can do. When you're done with that, please come back over to soundbites.org and check out things like the forums where the coolest people on earth are around and a whole bunch of other good stuff going on. So join us for all of that because it's all pretty nifty. And let me know what you think of the new look to the website.
I like it.
Thank you. I got it used to be that things like the poll and the really cool stuff and all that were in a vertical column in the left, and the text was tilted sideways with graphics.
Mm-hmm.
It really looked good, but people were complaining that on slower systems, it took a long time to get them. And so now this is all CSS and it all works and everything except. KHTML, which is Conqueror and Safari. I'm sorry for those of you who are using those products, but apparently they're not standard, and KHTML is not standard yet, and is not standards compliant. So there you go.
That's life in the big city.
Yeah, that is life in the big city. I don't know that we're going to find Steve, so we'll wait a few more minutes and hope he calls in. So in the meantime, we'll talk to Sharon from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Sharon. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I've been using the Adware free download, and I guess now I have to pay for it.
No.
No, it's still there's still a free version.
Yeah.
How do I get to that?
Just go to the Security Tango and, you know, the Let's Dance button, and just scroll down, and you click on Download Adaware, and it'll take you right to the Adaware site where you can download the free version.
Okay, I'm on a site that says Labisoft.
That's the place.
Yeah.
And
on the right hand left hand side, there's Download.
Okay.
You click on that.
Okay, and that's what I've been doing, but all of a sudden it's telling me that I need to purchase.
No, if you on the left, there's Home, Software, Purchase, News, Support,
right.
and Resources.
Right.
Resources has a download button.
Right.
And it, first thing it says, welcome to our freeware and shareware downloads page.
Click on the CNET thing, where you see CNET.
Right.
Click on that. And that will take you to where you can download it from.
So I should just download it again?
Yeah, download it. Or, matter of fact, when you ask you to download, if you have the option to either save or run,
mm-hmm.
just tell it to run, and it'll install it automatically over itself.
Right. It is free for non-commercial use only. It won't run on a server. There are a couple other things it won't do.
And
but if you are just a standard user, yeah, if you're just a standard user, you can get it there. Click on the download.com top five rated. And that green and that red and white and green and yellow thing on the right there.
Right.
And that will take you to download.com, and you can download the personal edition, which is free.
Very
for
good.
Personal
now, you're running SpyBot also?
Yes.
Okay. There's a new version for that, too.
Now, in general, most of these sites will make it easy for you to find the pay versions and hard for you to find the free versions. That's fair. That's, you know, that's how they're making their money. But the free versions still exist. They're still putting out the free versions.
Yep.
It's simply a matter of getting to the right site. And again, when you click that download button, it'll take you to the free site.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it is. It is. I thought about it. This is an interesting question. I debated just linking directly to the download, but I don't think that's fair to the companies who are making the stuff.
Exactly.
They're going to the trouble of providing a free copy of the software. So I figure, you know, take a look at the site. Same thing with Ask Nick. I hope people will look around Ask Nick, even though I lean them right to the opinion page. But. In this particular case, it's not my site, so I think I should lead them to the top level
and
let them go
find
it.
Like you say, we're also, you know, try out the free version. You know, folks ask, well, why should I go for the paid? Well, the paid version, you can get the automatic downloads. There are benefits. Whereas the free version, you manually have to check each week to go and look for any updates. Whereas, like I say, the paid version, you would automatically get that.
For those of us who are anal about constantly updating, constantly running, constantly, then the free version works. If you're one of those people who's pretty lax about it, pay the money and keep your system safe.
Yeah. No, well, because they'll sit there and say, I don't have the time to do that.
Right.
You know, that's one more thing now I got to do to stay safe on the Internet.
Right.
Well, it's not that expensive either. I mean, you're talking maybe, what, $30 for a year, I believe
it is. It's not expensive.
It's not that expensive. If you don't want the hassle of worrying about, you know, constantly.
It really comes down to what your time is worth.
Yeah.
You know, it's a simple return on investment situation.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think your time is worth anything, then the time you spend is time well spent.
Yeah.
But if you think your time is worth something, you'd rather spend your time doing something else, pay to have it automated, and you're done.
Yeah, and
simple
one less
enough.
Thing, just like your antivirus software. You
exactly.
know, just you pay that year subscription. And it does it behind the scenes. It just runs in the task manager, and like every Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever you have it set up to do, it automatically downloads.
Yeah. All right, listen, I want to talk a little bit about this whole Mac thing. I don't know that we're going to hear from Steve at all, so I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it's very interesting. As you may have heard, there was a rumor that was since confirmed, Macintosh's operating system, including, well, the underlying operating system, Darwin, I believe it's called, has always run on Intel systems. But the graphical user interface and most of the software did not. So now Microsoft, up till now, Microsoft has had a monopoly on the Intel side of the fence. And the Macintoshes ran on Motorola and then PowerPC chips from IBM. Recently, that is to say last week, Steve Jobs announced that in the future, Apple's products, the Macintosh operating system, will run on Intel chips. Now,
it's a revelation.
It's revolutionary. It's an interesting problem that Steve Jobs has set himself in a couple of ways. First, a bunch of us are shaking our heads. Has Steve Jobs never heard of Adam Osborne? Well, yes, he has. They were pals before Mr. Osborne passed away. God bless him. But Adam Osborne lost an entire computer company doing this. He had the Osborne 1, the Osborne 2, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He announced a new product, the Osborne Executive, about a year before it came out. And people stopped buying the old products, waiting for the hot new product, mm-hmm. which meant that the man had no revenue and went under before he even introduced the new product.
Yep.
So it was, and the Vixen, he had the Vixen, he had the Osborne Executive, and there was another one that I can't think of the name of.
That was a great mind lost.
It was a great mind lost when he passed away, but the products that he created, had he had a little more business savvy, would have been great. Now we find that the possibility that Steve Jobs is in the same boat. If he has, in fact, right now he's announced, you know what, in a year we're going to put this stuff out, in a year and a half we're going to put this stuff out on Intel hardware. There are going to be people who say to themselves, I don't care, I'm buying my Mac now as I love my Macs, I got to have my Macs. There are other people who are going to say, well, that's intriguing, I was going to buy a Mac, I'm waiting.
Well, I think what they're going to be waiting to see, too, though, is one, you know, I mean, if they take, say, the last generation of the Mac on the Motorola and the new Intel chip, you know there's going to be comparisons. And that's what I think is going to make folks, or break them, see whether they want to switch or wait for the switch based upon the performance. You know, if it's going to perform that much better.
Well, they're already saying it's better. They're already saying it blows the doors off.
But they're going to want to see more statistics.
Right,
you know, over
right.
time running.
No, no, no. I don't mean those people. I mean people who've got the test units.
Yeah.
Developers can spend $1,000 and get the test unit from Apple. They're saying it's a single processor system. It's just your basic run-of-the-mill Intel hardware box, mm-hmm. and it runs like a champ. It's faster. It's they've already got native products running. It's grotesquely fast. That's an interesting problem that Apple has. Here's the other interesting problem Apple has. We're already finding out on the net you can download that developer version. There are pirate sites that have the developer edition
available. Why should we be surprised?
And you can download it to run on any system. My favorite conspiracy theory about that is that Apple did it on purpose. Think about this. It expires in October,
mm-hmm.
right? So you only have a limited time to play with it.
Yeah.
You install it on your system. You find out it's the hottest thing since laser-sliced bread. You have to go out and buy it. Right. You have to now. You know it runs on your hardware. You're happy with the limitations that it has because it is beta software and you stole it.
Yeah.
You're not going to complain. Right. You're not going to go complaining to Apple that, you know what, this doesn't work right.
Because
you stole it. And yet, you're having the full new Macintosh Intel experience. So when the real product comes out, you buy it. It's like viral marketing. There's a whole bunch of people who are saying that it's the conspiracy theory that Apple let this happen on purpose.
Oops.
So that people and try it and then love it and buy it.
Yeah.
I think whether or not that's true, it's the greatest theory I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe Steve Jobs is smart enough to have thought of that. I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I do. He's a smart guy. As to whether or not I think it's a good idea that Mac hardware run on Intel, yeah, I really do. I've always been a fan of the Mac, always been a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a fanatic,
no,
as opposed to a fan. I think the operating system is phenomenal. I think it has some features that just aren't available anywhere else.
When it comes to the graphics world,
but I don't really care what processor it runs on. I'm not a bigot in terms of it's got to run on those beige little boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. If you want to run it on your Dell, if you want to run it on your Homebrew, if you want to run it,
whatever.
If you guys have the when it comes out, if you get the ability to load it, great. I think it's great.
Yeah, try it.
I have no problem with any of that. I think that the ability to run the Macintosh is a great operating system. I think also that having it available on the PC will spur further innovation in the Intel and in particular the Linux world. I'm very excited to see, because up till now Linux has lagged behind in a couple of things, particularly in audio. I hate the fact that I can't multitask my audio, and I hate a couple of other graphic limitations of Linux. On a day-to-day basis, that doesn't bother me, but I still hate it. And it'll be nice to see the competition.
I'd like to know what some of the other folks think about it, too.
Call in. Let us know what you think. Whether you're a Mac bigot or a Mac hater, let us know. Call in. We'll clear the lines to let you in. So give us a call in right now. And, don't dump anybody, but you know what I mean. Call in and let us know what you think. We're going to take a quick break so you can dial that phone. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Nick Francesco.
I must be Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
One of us has to be, and I'm afraid it's going to be you.
Okay.
That happened.
We're still waiting for folks to call in about the Apple, the whole Apple on Intel thing. We're very interested in what you think. Well, Roger, any question at all, actually, that would be fine. But in the meantime, I want to talk about a couple of other things. I don't get this. There's this giant Trojan running around the internet, apparently. It's an email that purports to be the Michael Jackson suicide note.
Oh,
yeah,
give me
not that there is one. Let's squash that rumor right now.
Yeah.
But it purports to be a suicide note from Michael Jackson. Open this up. It's pretty amazing, blah, blah, blah. Of course, if you click on it, you get a virus. And it's apparently spreading itself all over the internet. Now, I get upwards of 6,000 spam messages a day. And those are just the spam messages.
Yeah.
That's not all my mail. That's just the spam.
I hear you.
Upwards of 6,000 a day. I haven't got one copy of this. So I don't know where it's spreading. Other than that, or I'm way outside the mainstream.
Or maybe it's on your, because you've already got a click to trash it.
No, it would be in my trash.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not seeing it there at all. Now I haven't checked it, and that's just at home.
Maybe Jerry's filtering it out.
Maybe he is. I haven't checked it, which would be wonderful. I haven't checked it at work. I've only checked it at home. It may well be that I've got copies going at work, and that may be happening. But if you do get this thing, definitely dump it. Just dump it. There is no such thing as the Michael Jackson suicide note. Don't even bother to open it. Just toss it. Simple enough. Our next caller is Lee on a cell phone. Welcome, Lee. What's your question?
I'm wondering about FC4. They have test version 3. Is it good to go, or should I wait for it to come out?
FC4?
Fedora Core.
FC4. Sorry. God, I was a little bit about what you were talking about. Fedora is a terrific product. For those of you who don't know, Fedora is a version of Linux based on Red Hat. Red Hat just recently spun it off as a separate company. Red Hat created a version of Linux that originally had a free version and a pay version. They're going to keep the pay version with all the support stuff like that. That's called Enterprise, and the Core Fedora is the free desktop spinoff. Fedora Core 3 is out now. I don't see any real reason to wait. I don't honestly know how long it's going to be before Fedora Core 4 is out. I haven't followed that as closely as I probably should.
What I'm saying is, they have Fedora Core 4 test version 3. Should I download that, or should I wait for the Fedora Core 4?
I'd be honest and have to say that I don't know how. I got burned by Fedora Core 1 test 3. So I'm not a big fan of their test versions. I have to be completely honest about that.
Well, that's why they lay them in the test, so they can people
right.
Aren't going to get upset that if all of a sudden they're doing something and the whole machine just hangs.
Right. If I were you, if I had a separate system or a different hard drive or a different boot place to play with it, absolutely, I certainly would not use it on a production system.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, and if you've used Fedora before and you're upgrading to a new version of Fedora, that's great. For those of you who are looking to play with Linux and see what it can do for you, I might also suggest a product called Ubuntu, U-B-U-N-T-U, at ubuntulinux.org. It's, again, a completely free version, very easy to install, very easy to use. I'm running it on a laptop at work. It's on my daughter's machine.
There you go.
Because it means that she can do all kinds of stuff with her pals and not get viruses or anything else. And she uses it every day and has no idea that it's an alternate operating system. She's just completely.
Well, that's what the people have to be aware of, though. Anytime they see anything that says beta or test, they're running the risk.
Right.
And just realize that.
Right, right. The reality is that, in general, if you've got a second machine and you're playing, great. If you've got a production box, don't run the test environments.
Bingo.
Of course, now I'm running Debian Unstable at work as my desktop, but that's another story, because I know that if it dies, it's my fault.
No biggie.
On my way. Right. Our next caller is John from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Peachy, great. How are you?
Peachy back, just ducky. Quick questions for you. I'm starting my first website.
Oh, congratulations. How exciting.
Yeah, it is, actually, and I'm learning as I go. You had recommended a local company, and I took advantage of that, and I'm very happy working with them to host my website.
Excellent.
And now I'm wondering if you could make some recommendations. What I'm doing right now is I'm building my pages in PageMaker.
Uh-huh.
All right, and I'm bringing the finished files. I save them as HTTP, and I bring them into the appropriate folders where the web is hosted.
Uh-huh.
I'm learning that I need an FTP program.
Yes. Yep.
To bring everything over a lot easier. And I'm also looking to see if there's a web building program. I guess you'd say one that I don't need to be an expert on.
Yeah, there are a couple of things you're doing. PageMaker is a great product for doing brochures and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the thing I would use to build websites.
Right.
Wait a minute. If he's talking about Jerry.
Yes.
Jerry has a manager screen where you can go to, and he's got like built-in FTP where you can upload files one at a time using his maintenance screen.
Yep.
But there's an easier way to do that.
Yes.
As opposed to using PageMaker, there's a product. Are you using Windows?
Yes.
There's a product called Dreamweaver.
Okay, but that's very expensive, isn't it?
It is expensive, yes. It is expensive, but it does everything. Well, PageMaker isn't cheap.
No, but it came with my Office program.
Oh, there you go. All right, yeah.
And it's what I'm using to design all my brochures with for my company.
In that case, how about Coffee Cup?
Or Hot Dog?
That's from Coffee Cup Software.
Oh, okay.
I just can't. I'm trying to find the URL here.
And Microsoft has one as well. It seems to be priced around $190.
Yes. Not my favorite product. Front Page has never been my favorite product.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Coffee Cup Software. CoffeeCup.com. Duh. There is a company called Coffee Cup Software.
Okay.
And they have a couple of different products, which they have an HTML editor with direct FTP. It's Coffee Cup HTML editor. They have the Coffee Cup Visual Site Designer. They have the Coffee Cup Form Builder. All of these are $49.50 bucks a piece.
Okay.
You can buy the whole package, everything they sell, for $149.
All right, and that's reasonable. And you like that better than Front Page?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Front Page has gotten much, much, much better. But it still creates really bloated pages, and 90% of what you do requires specialized software on the server and in the client.
All right. Okay.
And I'm just not as big a fan of it.
Okay. Now, does Coffee Cup Software come with FTP as well?
Yes. In that bundle,
all right,
it does. You can buy the HTML editor for $49 and the Direct FTP for $34 and the Visual Site Designer for $49 and Form Builder for $34 and blah, 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 blah. But you can buy the whole package, which is like $350 worth of stuff,
right,
for $149.
Okay. And you like that one the best, then?
I do. I do. I'll be entirely honest with you. It is not what I use myself right now, but I have used it, and I liked it very much. I do all my stuff in just a text editor, and I write my own code, but I don't, you know, I don't really.
He's got a lot of...
I'm not that quick.
Right. When I did do this stuff, that was one of my favorites.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the advice. I appreciate it, and your recommendations have been great.
Thank you. Let me know how you like Coffee Cup. We'll see. We'll see how you feel about that. It's an interesting thing that more and more people are building their own websites, and I think that's a very good thing because it keeps them employed. But the fact is that there are many people who don't know HTML. I know a bunch of people who code HTML and PHP in their heads. I employ one. And he's very good at what he does. But there are a bunch of people to whom that's all a mystery, and they just want to create web pages like they create
Put pictures here and wording and everything else.
That's another thing. He can do it in Word, but then, of course, he still has the upload problem.
Yeah.
But a product like the Coffee Cup software, and I'm sure there are others. If you have something else that you use, please call in and let us know. Like I said, Microsoft has a product called Front Page, which is a very good product. It's just, as with most things
with
Microsoft, it's proprietary, and it does create bloated code.
Bloated.
And, I'm a believer in lean code whenever possible.
And the other, excuse me.
Which is one of the reasons I changed the website.
And that's one of the other thing folks have to consider when they're designing this stuff, too. I mean, if you're going to put pictures and that type of stuff or graphics, try to get them down to the lowest reasonable size that you can get to. I mean, you don't have to have them super high resolution and all this other stuff, because that's going to take a long time to load that code or those pictures and graphics, and it can discourage people from even coming to your website.
Right. That's one of the reasons that I changed our website. My hope is that for the visually impaired, it'll be easier to read for people who read their websites in text only mode.
Yeah.
It should be easier for people who are on dial up. It should be a little easier. I should have gotten rid of all those pictures at the top, but what the heck? It's the only advertising we do. So
they're small.
And I did get rid of all the big pictures at the bottom. Yeah. People were complaining that the big pictures were making the sites load slow. Mm-hmm. So we've done our best to keep it at a minimum. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have any graphics, you shouldn't have any cool stuff, but one of the arguments I constantly have with people is about Flash. Flash is a great product, and used intelligently and correctly, it enhances your website.
But some of them...
But when you get these 200 megabyte Flash downloads that are nothing but sunbursts in your name, give me a break, because I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I dump off those sites as soon as I can when I start seeing huge amounts of it. Now I'm on broadband, so that's fine. It's not going to take me a long time. But even so, I see the thing flashing, and then all I have is this sunburst and a little flash thing.
Especially
when
folks are on dial-up in there, it's that much slower, and it's like, come on. Like you say, it's not being fair to some of the other folks.
Right. And, you know what, though? I want to talk a little bit about Google and their search capability. A lot of people have been asking me lately. I used to be way high up in the Google search ratings, and now I'm way down low again, and what happened, and why did it change, and blah, blah, blah. Google consistently changes their criteria because people find out ways around them. And so they're constantly changing their criteria. But I'll tell you a couple that I know of that I believe are still in effect. One is if you have a splash page, that is if you come to somebody's site and there's one single static page where you have to click to enter and all that stuff, you get low ratings, low ratings. Splash pages get low ratings at Google. The second thing is the number of people who connect to you. And not through just lists of connecting, but for real reasons.
Yep.
And they worry about that. So if you're looking to build a website and you're looking to to figure out where you are in the search rankings. Go to Google. There's all kinds of interesting stuff about Google. That they, if you click on that More button at the top, tell you a lot about what's going on and why they do what they do and how they do it, and Intelligent Reads through that will give you a lot of good stuff. Our next caller is Doug on a cell phone. Welcome, Doug. What's your question?
A quick one. You're complaining about Flash, which I agree with. I think it's an awful thing in some instances.
Yeah.
In Netscape, preferably, or Mozilla, or maybe even in IE, is there any way to selectively disable that, or do you just have to uninstall the whole thing?
You mean Flash?
Right, so when you come up with a site where it's obvious that the Flash whatever is loading forever while you're waiting for text and pictures, is there a way to disable that on a per-event basis without uninstalling the entire thing?
Yes and no.
Oh, good. Okay.
Love those answers.
There are a couple of things that you can do that. One is, of course, you can uninstall Flash directly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is there is a great product for the Mozilla suite and for Firefox called AdBlock.
Okay.
Whenever it sees an ad, it thinks it's an ad, it puts up a little AdBlock symbol. And you can click on that and say, yeah, dump this. There is a plug-in called FlashBlock.
Okay.
And you can get that at the extension page for Mozilla, Firefox, Kmelion, Camino, for all of that. So check the extension page for Firefox or whatever and look for something called FlashBlock.
I think you'll be satisfied with that.
That's really the best one. If you have Internet Explorer, it's a registry hack. I'm not even going to go there. Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Rob, me, Nick on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This is a very important subject. Thank you for doing this show.
I've been riveted to the radio.
Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Our next caller is David, high on a mountaintop in Pennsylvania. Welcome, David. What's your...
Welcome, top guys. I want to go back to something that you were talking about just a few moments ago.
Yeah.
The need to have photographs be of perhaps a bit lower resolution if you're going to send them in email or place them on the net.
Mm-hmm.
Could you guys take a minute or two, for us dummies out here who really don't know how to do that, and we have a photograph where the resolution is too high, we have a photo editing program, you know, like a cookbook for dummies, how would you, in a generic way, how would you go about reducing that resolution?
Well, there's two things that make a photograph a specific
size. Check my tips. I've got a tip in there on how to take photos and put them down to a decent size. For the web.
Perfect. Dave's tips, which are on soundbites.org. That's
so
bites
with a Y. Scroll down
like
quite
to
a bit.
Remind you.
But I know I did one a while back on how to, and it's a step-by-step procedure, and give you a pretty good idea on what you should, you know, recommendations and everything else on photos.
What tool, Dave? What was your context? What tool? What photo editing program?
Oh. Well, a lot of them, you know, any of your basic programs, say like even print or anything like a Photoshop or whatever you're viewing your pictures, quite often you can export them. And when you export them out, you can select a different resolution.
Using what?
All right, hold on one second. Let's back up a step. There are two things that cause a picture, that influence the size of a picture on your hard drive. One is the actual size of the picture in terms of width by height.
Mm-hmm.
The other is the number of colors used. Often you can simply shrink an image. Now, and every photo editing program I've seen has the ability to make a picture larger or smaller.
I agree.
So you can make the picture smaller, and you can reduce the number of colors.
Don't need 16 million.
Right. In particular, if you're going to put it up on the web, 32,000, which cuts it down in half immediately, 16,000, even 65,000, I mean, not 16,000, 65,000 colors, would be fine. 65,000 is the number of colors you're going to see on your screen anyway.
More is just overkill.
Agreed. And you're saying that any photo editing program allows you to do that?
Yeah. Any decent one, yeah. And if it's not, then maybe it's time to pick up something else.
Okay, aside from Photoshop, can you name two or three other, quote, decent, unquote, ones?
Absolutely. One is the GIMP, which is free. Graphic Image Manipulation Program, also known as the GIMP at GIMP.org. There's the one I use all the time, PaintShop Pro. From JASC Software, J-A-S-C.
They've been around for a long time, and they do different formats, too.
Yeah, it's a, they're great products. And again, exporting in a different format. For example, if you use a PNG format or a JPEG format, you can compress them, and that gets it even smaller. So you can do all kinds of interesting things. If you're putting it up on the web, much more than 256 colors is wasted.
I agree, guys. Hey, that's a help. Thank you so much for your help.
No, thank you. That's the way I would I would go with that stuff. Our next caller is Betsy from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Betsy. What's your question?
Good morning. I'm on your Security Tangle website.
Yes.
And I cannot get the SpyBot Search and Destroy. I keep getting that this page is not available.
Really? Well, maybe they're down right now.
Oh.
Nick's going to try it right now.
I'm trying it right now. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Let's see what I get when I click on it. www.safernetworking.org. Yeah, it looks like the site itself is down.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm just linking to somebody else here, so they're at the mercy of the Internet, too, and it looks like they've... that happens a lot. You know, there's problems here and there.
Here's a workaround. If you go to download.com and type in, it'll take you to that page. It's for CNET. And go to download.com, and it'll say, you'll see a little button over on the, or a space on the left-hand side, and you can do a search. Put in SpyBot.
Oh, okay.
It will search the download.com, download it from there.
Okay. And if it keeps coming up like this, that just means that they're busy.
Yeah. Or the website's down.
Okay. And just keep trying.
Yeah.
There you go.
Great. Thank you both, all of you, very much.
Thank you, Betsy. We're going to take another quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we have Steve from Fairport on the line. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I just bought an iPod Photo.
Yeah.
And I went through, you know, they give you a very concise guide on how to set up and install and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Which I followed. And... and yet, when I can't seem to get it to recognize the iPod when I connect via the 2.0 USB port, and now it's gone through and part of the installation process they asked for the serial number of the iPod itself. After that, I've lost. It just gives me the little folder with the exclamation point. I've tried to restore and all that stuff, and still no luck. I'm just at a loss. It's right out of the box. So I.
When you plugged it in, did it? I'm assuming you're using Windows XP.
I was doing it on Windows 2000.
Ah, that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
There's two things about that. One is the software itself doesn't work well with 2000, and the second thing is that USB 2.0 under 2000 is at best flaky.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd have to say that in general, it's not as likely to work.
You might want to upgrade that machine to XP ever.
Okay. Now, I do have an XP machine, too. I tried it after this occurred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On that machine?
Yeah.
No?
No. Well, I'd have to talk to the dealer because it... I don't know what 2000 did to the iPod Photo itself.
Okay.
It may need a reformat. Luckily, if it's a brand new machine, you don't have anything on it anyway.
Right.
But I would talk to the vendor about a reformat because it sounds to me like there was one of the problems with 2.0 under 2000 is that it's flaky, not non-existent.
Okay.
So it'll partially work, and it may have screwed up the formatting of the photo
for it to be recognized
of the iPod.
Okay, so there's that reformatting that has to be done. I can't do that myself.
I don't think so. And I'll be honest with you, Steve is our expert on that, and he's out today. But I would call the vendor and find out what the proper procedure is for that.
Gotcha.
Because it's brand new. Might as well, you know, it's certainly under warranty, so go for it.
Yep.
Instead of messing things up and wasting a lot of your time.
Great. Thanks. Our next caller is Sal from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Sal. What's your question?
Hey, guys, about that iPod, I was just wondering, first off, I guess he did say USB 2 he's using, right?
Yes, right.
Okay, so that's no problem with that. He could probably try to reformat it.
Yeah, except
he's got all the information.
Pardon me?
Under 2000.
You'd have to do it from the XP machine.
Yeah, you could do that on the XP machine. Right. It should be covered under 2000. It works on both. That's the only two systems on Windows that it will work on.
Well, the problem is not with the iPod. The problem is with the 2.0 drivers under
2000.
Under 2000.
Yeah. Okay.
With a lot of the 2.0 chipsets, it didn't work well.
Yeah, so he's probably better off just keeping it on XP then.
Exactly.
Because it may be glitchy down the road, and he's going to end up...
Same problem. And then he's got data on it, and now it's a problem.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. Thanks, Sal. I love it when people call in and give us the answers that we did. I love that because it's not the answers that we did, but it gives us new information about our answers. That's what this is all about. We're all sharing the information together. Well, it looks like we have reached the end of another show. Unbelievable as that may seem to you, I want to thank Dave Enright, Rob Linton, for keeping us on the semi-straight and narrow and learning which buttons to push. How much damage can he do to me now? We're almost done. And so, this is always next week.
No,
we will certainly be back here next week at the same time on the same channel with the greatest computer show in the known universe. You're going to find that Steve Ray will have returned to us, wandered his way back home from the air show to see us. And we'll see you next week on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks for listening.